Turning again to Luke chapter 10, and to deal with this lovely incident of Mary and Martha and the Lord Jesus at their house. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, just a few verses, I'll read them again to fix them in our minds. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, this village of Bethany, 2 miles to the east of Jerusalem, half a mile's walk from that great city, here is a home in that village of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, the brother and two sisters. Lazarus, the brother, would later be resurrected from the grave after being dead for 4 days. Lazarus was an important man, well respected among the Jews of Jerusalem and round about. Martha was the mistress of the house, so it seems, from what we read here, taking the lead in all domestic duties and hospitality with her faithful sister Mary. We don't read of any of them being married. Maybe Lazarus was earlier married, we're not sure. It would have been very unusual for these folk not to be married, but we don't hear anything of that. But it seems a happy home that the Lord Jesus, after this occasion, which seems to be his first visit to this household, well, he came thereafter frequently up until his death. We're pretty sure that the time of the visit, from what we read in the Gospels, was the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was the time in which the Jews remembered the time in the wilderness, the 40 years, when Moses led them from Egypt to the Promised Land. And of course, in that time, they lived in tents in the desert. And this was to remind them. So they would go out into the forests and trees round about and cut down the branches and bring them home and make temporary shelters in their courtyards and in the streets around about Jerusalem and in their villages. And this must have been a very large and substantial house with a traditional courtyard, we reckon. And these strict Jews would have made these booths or tabernacles to commemorate that 40 years in the wilderness, God keeping them all that time. But also, of course, it was a very hot time of year, and it was pleasant to get out of a hot house into the drafty temporary shelters to talk and to eat and to sleep away a pleasant week or two. But of course, no package holidays for folk in those days. This would have been their holiday and break at that time of the year. Well, we remember, friends, that nothing is recorded of the Saviour and what he did and said and who he was that cannot be of service to us in our search after God and his forgiveness and salvation. In these few verses, we especially see that these are written for us to take in, of all for our spiritual good, for the welfare of our souls. We can easily see here that there is a bit of a disagreement, and the Lord Jesus speaks of it and commends one thing and dismisses another, though of course in a very kindly way. Mary sits and listens to the Lord and is commended. Martha, though busy and good in what she does by way of catering for, we reckon, a large group of guests, well, yet the Lord says it was not the most important thing. And if we have any desire to know what the Lord Jesus wants of us, here is an important passage in the Gospels for our help. And not only that, but I hope that we can see that here there is no great mystery. Here is not some highly theological, churchy thing that we find impossible to understand. Here is the most simple statement from the Lord Jesus that Mary got it right and Martha got it wrong. Nothing could be more straightforward. it only falls to me to just point out where one was wrong and where the other was right. And even that, I think, we can see before we start. All I want to do tonight is to press the point to have us follow Mary here and see if we might not so often be like Martha and be careful in our thinking of spiritual things. But we must want to know about these things. Here we see Mary sitting at the Master's feet and listening to him intently. Have we got any aching in our hearts to know the truth? To want, dare we say, to know God for sure? To have a spiritual relationship with the God that made us and placed us in this world to seek after him and to know his very great blessing? Perhaps we don't. Perhaps life holds enough for us. Perhaps spiritual things are not on our agenda. We don't really want to consider eternal and spiritual things because that would mean an adjustment in life. It would mean we have to think of a whole new set of things, and maybe life is difficult enough without that sort of added burden. But look, there is a very real sense in which, to start with, even the Lord does not ask much of us. If this little episode at Bethany teaches us anything, it surely is simply saying, can we not just for once sit and listen? I don't mean so much in the pew tonight, but in our lives. Can we not give God some consideration, some time to hear what he says? Martha is busy in the kitchen. And Mary here, in verse 39, we see she sat at Jesus' feet and heard him. And clearly, from what happened here, and he said, the Lord tells us Mary got it right. To listen is not such a hard thing, is it? To read the Bible is no great struggle. To come out even on a Sunday evening and give about an hour in a long week to give some spiritual consideration to life. Well, we surely can see that on the one hand it cannot do us any harm, and on the other hand hopefully it will do us the world of good. If anyone that has any respect for the Saviour says, well, he is at least a great teacher, well, he's more than that, far more. Well, then let's learn from him. If he is a teacher, let's hear what he teaches. And if we hear him say one thing that we might learn tonight, it's this. We must listen to him. We must listen to him. Through the passages of the Bible, we have his voice to us. We hear what he would say to us in a real world that desperately needs to hear what he says. That's what Mary teaches us here by sitting at the feet of the Saviour and getting his approval by just listening. Surely we can do that. We certainly must understand that. Now, just in case we think, this is a nice scene. This is a nice scene. This is a nice little history and a lesson in manners, that Martha was really quite rude in not listening and Mary did just the right thing. Friends, that's not what the Bible is all about. And we can be absolutely sure that that is not the reason for this being preserved in our Bibles for us. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to have in this passage a full description of what he said on that occasion, because the Gospels and the rest of the Bible are full of what he taught. And it's all staggering, frightful, and yet amazing. It's an offer to men and women and youngsters, an offer of eternal life, of salvation from sin. The Lord Jesus taught that he was God and that he was from God. And that's the staggering thing about this visit of the Saviour to this home, in this tiny snippet, as it were, of the great fact that God had visited this earth. Show us God and we will believe in him, we hear so many cry. Well, here is God made man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We could never see a spirit, of course not. So he became a man to talk with us, just as he did to Mary and Martha on that day. In fact, we have more than they heard. We have what happened afterwards, how he dies on a cruel Roman cross. And we have what he died for, dying in the place of sinners like us, dying in agony, not just a physical death at the hands of the Romans or after the hounding and persecution of the Jewish leaders, not even the spite and venom of Satan, but God himself deals a death blow to his own son. He cursed him so that we might not be. God somehow extracted the satisfaction for all his broken law from his son in the holy soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore what we should bear for all eternity because we have sinned and broken God's law and offended our Maker in rebellion to him. But this Son of God visits us. He comes to us, to our world, and he speaks to us, and it's all recorded here in the Bible as to why he came to seek and to save those who are lost. And we hear his words just as clearly and wonderfully from the Bible today as ever Mary and Martha heard it in their home in Bethany those 2,000 years ago. This is not just a nice scene. We can be sure that the Lord Jesus spoke to Mary about her sin and about her failure to please God. That he spoke to her about the spiritual danger that she was in. The Lord Jesus spoke to her about the very great love and mercy of God. That if we will just seek him and ask his forgiveness, if we will truly repent of our sin, he will forgive us and change us and make us truly happy and grant to us by his free gift eternal life. This was not a cozy fireside chat. This here in verse 39, Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word was a matter of spiritual life and death. So is what we speak of each week. It may not always appear so, but that is what it's meant to be. I have no desire to spend my life getting people to like what I say or having some feel that I've got a special gift for speaking and uttering wise statements. Perish the thought. I come humbly as I can, to offer you a message from the Bible that is crucial to your eternal well-being. I honestly believe so. But it's not my word, but God's, straight out of the Bible. But we are Martha's or Mary's. Mary here, verse 39, sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and listened. But Martha, verse 40, she was cumbered about with much preparation for her guests without listening. You know, there's even a lesson here in what we might call sheer movement. Mary sits, no doubt stock still, hanging on Christ's every word, breathless with amazement at the words, that wonderful words that proceeded out of his mouth, daring not to move. All her heart and mind concentrated on these things, spiritual and eternal issues. Nothing could distract her, not even the slamming doors and the clattering saucepans next door. But then there is Martha, cumbered about with much serving for a huge household. Did it include the 12 disciples? Probably. And others? And don't forget all the laborious work that would have been involved then in such catering. Well, that well in the courtyard that she would have had to go to several times to fill her bucket, and the heavy buckets, and the firewood that would have to be kindled, and the utensils, and the stirring of the pots, and the bread making, and the milling, and the serving plates and cups. I think we have forgotten all that would have been involved in such an ancient household to prepare such a meal, especially when we can be sure that usually Mary would be helping her, than anyone that gets the least idea of the sheer hard work involved here to cater for such a large amount of guests has not the slightest surprise, as Martha bursts in and complains in such a bitter manner that her sister has left her to it all on her own, especially when we can be sure that that was never the case before. I should think we're sure that Mary would have on every other occasion have been with her sister, sharing the burden. What a contrast. The quiet, sitting, listening of Mary and the hustle and bustle and the puffing and the panting and the rising anger of Martha. But let me say this. I'm pretty sure from what we read here in the Bible that the agitation of Mary's heart was far greater than that of Martha's. If what the Lord Jesus was saying here, as I have described, that as he spoke to her of her spiritual condition, that without trusting in the Saviour, she would be lost forever, that her life had to be changed spiritually, and that she had to give herself wholly, totally to the Lord, that would all have had her heart racing. She would have felt her spiritual danger. She would have had many questions that the Lord Jesus was answering, one after another. She would have wondered that God should care about her. She would have been filled with fear that God should leave her out and not save her. She would have felt that she was nowhere near good enough for God, and that her sins were so great that she had sinned away any hope that God would be kind to her. And then her soul would have been greatly stirred as it dawned on her that the Lord Jesus opened up a way of hope for even her, even for Mary, and that no matter what she had been, no matter what she had done, still, if she were to turn to the Lord and seek the Lord and his forgiveness, she would be saved. She would know God's forgiveness herself. She would have had a heavenly friend in the Lord Jesus Christ who would have paid for all her sin, and she could live a happy and fulfilled life here and go to heaven at last. Whose heart do you think was thumping away on this occasion? I put it to you that it was Mary's, as it is so often the case of those that get a grasp of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for them, if only they would come. If only they would come and give themselves to the Lord and ask his forgiveness. What of our hearts tonight, friends? Is there any movement? Any spiritual excitement? Anywho, though we sit quiet and listen, yet within there are great stirrings. We long to know the Saviour for ourselves. We feel that he is near, speaking to our very hearts. We know what agitation that comes because we feel our sin and our wretchedness and our inability to change our lives for the good. We have strong desires to be saved. And even now in the quietness and yet in the stormy sea of our hearts and minds, we cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, change me. Perhaps, as with Martha, there is a great deal of movement about us. She, bless her heart, wanted to do the right thing. Of course she did, to serve the Master, to give him a good dinner. But that was the last thing that the Saviour was thinking of. We can see that by what he says to Martha here in verse 41. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. All these things that she was troubled about and careful about, but none of them mattered in the context of listening to the Saviour about our soul's salvation. Whatever we think we do in life to please the Saviour even, might we have got it all wrong. Whatever our religious duties, whatever our doing good in society, whatever our outward practical movements and carefulness, and the trouble we go to concerning what we think God wants, have we ever stopped to think that maybe he's not so interested in all that? When did we last sit down and think as Mary did? Where am I spiritually? Spiritually speaking, where do I stand, spiritually speaking, before God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we even, like Martha, thought that to listen and to discuss spiritual matters is all very well, but I must do something? When here the Lord says, stop doing things. Come and listen. Get your heart straight first, or anything else you do will be hopeless and never bring you to heaven. Well, life is busy enough. We all have so much to do, of course. So many responsibilities. So much we even think that God is pleased with. Well, he may be, but that's not in question here. But priorities, verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. One thing is chosen by Mary, and it will not be taken away from her. I don't know what else the Lord could have said to convince Martha that she'd got things out of order. In fact, that nothing is to take the place in our lives that pushes out the gospel, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. it won't be any good getting through life on an agenda of work, 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 family, 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 education, education, fun, 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 and saying, I never had time to listen. I never had time to think. I never had time to pray. The Lord Jesus says here, if he says anything at all, make time. Make time. It's needful. It's absolutely necessary. It's crucial. It's a matter of life and death. Our eternal destiny rests on this priority in life. That's why this little snippet of history is recorded here, so that we might hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what he sees should come top of the list of anything that we consider in this life, to listen to him, to hear the good news of the gospel, that seeking God's forgiveness, we can be saved. What are we careful about in our lives? What are we troubled with? The family? Well, of course we are. So we should be. Are we worried, concerned about finances? Well, who isn't? Are we worried, anxious, thoughtful often about our home? Well, we're glad to have one, and I don't think we should live in shabbiness. Are we troubled about the future? We jolly well should be. Are we careful and troubled about our health? Well, we cannot help that. Are we getting older and friends are departing this world? Are we troubled about that? Well, that's good. We should be troubled. Are we troubled about the state of the nation and the government's handling of our affairs? Well, that's certainly not a sin, and we should be troubled. There are plenty of things to care about. Plenty to be troubled with. That's life. That's us. That's what we grow up to. The Lord Jesus never told Martha off for getting the dinner. He rebuked her in the kindest possible manner. And why, Martha, Martha? And pointed out that there was something much more important than all that. We must be troubled about our soul's need. We must be careful about our future in eternity. We must be troubled about our sin and our lack of desire to seek the Lord. We must be careful to seek God's forgiveness and pardon. We must be troubled that we're not saved yet and are in danger of being lost eternally. Friends, there's plenty to be troubled with, plenty to be anxious about in our lives. Oh, friends, do you see it? Do you see how we must be anxious? But do we feel any of this? Do we feel this in our souls? We don't read it, but I think dinner had to wait. We feel sure that Martha wiped her hands and sat beside her sister. I can see it in my mind's eye already. And she listened. In a few months, we read that she and her sister believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the resurrection and the life. They saw their brother raised from the dead. 4 days in the grave, they witnessed the death and the resurrection of the Saviour, and were the foremost of those that loved him and served him, both of them. They saw this and they were changed. Oh, can I ask you to wipe your hands and sit down and start to listen and to get an agitation in your soul that won't be cured till you know and love the Saviour for yourself? You see there, verse 42, it's the good part. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, or this good thing to be taken up with. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. It's so needful that we listen to him concerning the gospel and our soul's need. Once we see how crucial all this is, we'll wipe our hands and we'll sit down spiritually and listen to him. No one will be able to stop us listening till we're saved. Oh, come, friends. Follow the example of Mary and, I believe, Martha in the end, and come and love this Saviour. Listen to his word and believe all that he says, and you will know salvation in your soul. Let's pray together.